everybody, welcome into the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. This is your host, Jeremy Uhas, joined by Bradley Gelber of Bills Wire, along with Justin DeLauro. I have both my staff writers joining me today to preview the LA Chargers game at New Era Field 1 p.m. tomorrow. Guys, a lot to talk about, and glad that we have definitely turned the page to week two so that we can get and move ourselves beyond the horrible game in week one against the Ravens. So thank you both for coming on and chatting. We did get a chance on the Daily Podcast this week to really highlight the Josh Allen move, so I'm sure we'll spend some time on that, being named the starter. So first of all, just welcome, guys, and how are you guys looking forward to this week? Brad, anything in particular other than the Allen thing, or is it just for you all about him?
I mean, I think naturally that's going to be the thing that we kind of, you know, all gravitate towards is, you know, how is Josh Allen going to do? Of course, there's, you know, there's other like, smaller storylines, I think, that, you know, we'll kind of see. I'm interested to see how the offensive line, you know, performs against a Chargers defense that, you know, we don't know necessarily what this Chargers team looks like quite yet since it's only been 1 week, but they do have a good defense even without Bosa. So, you know, I'm interested to see more so maybe even, you know, if the secondary can kind of bounce back since, you know, that's kind of the bread and butter, what we assumed was going to be one of the strengths of this team. And, you know, last week as a whole unit giving up that many points, you know, they obviously want to come back and play well. So, anytime you're in front of the home fans, I know too, or the home opener, everyone's going to be fired up. And even if you're not a great team, maybe they overperform a little bit in front of the home fans. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at all that. Just hopefully we get a little bit better of a game than we saw in week one.
Justin, it's going to be a beautiful day. I think like 84, 85, sunny. And, you know, we were talking before we jumped on, just you and I, about the Allen decision, but more so where it kind of puts the Bills kind of in a pinch without having a veteran presence on the roster. Just, you know, want to kind of repeat a little bit what we were talking about.
Yeah, just this week's going to be all about Josh Allen, as we know. Obviously other storylines, but Allen's going to be number one. And one of the concerns that I in particular have is that if Allen struggles at any time, he's obviously going to have Brian Daboll, he's going to have Sean McDermott, but he's not going to have that veteran quarterback to go to on the sideline to look at whatever their Microsoft Surface and review some plays, much like in the same way that Sam Darnold has Josh McCown right now, just to look over anything, fix any problems. It might be nice to have that veteran who's mm-hmm. been there for, you know, in the trenches for so long to be there. I mean, right now, if let's say he throws a pick in the first quarter or stuff's just not going right, first quarter kind of falls in line with what happened last week, is he going to walk over to Nathan Peterman and be like, hey, buddy, how do we get through this? I mean, we know Peterman hasn't finished a game yet, so it's going to have to accelerate Allen's growth as a quarterback much more quickly than probably any of us anticipated.
For sure. Guys, for me, and this point's been brought up this week by a lot of different people in the media, and it's kind of cliche, but do you think it is a valid point, a good point, and that's LeSean McCoy and just in general the running game to help him feel comfortable, and hopefully Daboll can game plan for Shady to get touches, for just the game plan to kind of protect Josh Allen, you know, either quick reads, leaving more guys in protection, or vice versa, maybe having more guys go out in the route so that he has more options to throw to. What would be your game plan, Brad, going into this one if you're Brian Daboll and trying to go against this Chargers defense?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of nailed it there. At least for me, it's, you know, how, and it's tough because with Josh starting his first game, we really don't know what he's going to be comfortable with, what he's not going to be, if they're going to open up the whole playbook to him or they're going to kind of try and, you know, consolidate it down until he feels more comfortable with this offense. But given the state of the offensive line, I think, you know, these type of quick reads are important. They got to get the ball out quickly, and that's not something that's a strength of Josh Allen's. You know, that was mm-hmm. partly why I think they felt comfortable going with Nathan Peterman to start, was in the preseason he was getting the ball out quick. You know, it was right. It was quick plays that allowed the offensive line to not really have to hold their block as long. That all obviously disappeared in week one and went out the door. And I have no idea why he was holding on to the ball unlike he did in any previous week. But, you know, Josh's thing is at least he can run, get outside the pocket if he has to, and he's more mobile. So, I think that's important to try and emphasize getting the ball out quickly. They have to find a way to get the run game involved. And I know that's easier, you know, said than done, but when you have LeSean McCoy back there, who's, you know, arguably your best offensive player on the team, you have to get him involved, find a way, even if it's, you know, getting him involved in the passing game or something, just to get him out in some open space. You know, I know he was a non-factor last game, as was the entire offense, but and maybe seeing if, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, I know he had a tough game last game, and he's going to be, you know, going up against Casey Hayward. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, can they find a way to get anything from the passing game, or if not, can they find a way to get something from their run game? Because, you know, it's important to score more than 3 points. I think we can all agree on that. And I guess the only other thing I would say is, you know, last year, a big part of the success was the defense being able to get some takeaways. So, you know, if they're able to do that, or they can, and I know, you know, Phillip Rivers is not Joe Flacco, so they, you know, they struggled heavily against a guy like Joe Flacco. It doesn't give me a lot of hope against Phillip Rivers, but we're gonna have to see some help from the defense to not have them rely solely on their offense in this one.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of pick that up with Justin here. And what did the Bills do to generate a pass rush? Because, you know, Phillip Rivers, tremendous quarterback, has been for such a long time, knows how to read defenses, knows just knows the game so well. So I guess on the flip side, if you're Leslie Frazier, Justin, what are you trying to do to get Jerry Hughes going, just generate a pass rush either through blitzes? What are you looking at if you're Leslie Frazier?
It's going to be really difficult because Phillip Rivers obviously will be able to get the ball out very quickly. Even if we blitz, he'll be able to get the ball out quickly. I'm really worried about this week. I mean, between Gordon and Eckler in the backfield, Keenan Allen out wide, I would love to see us just go 5-6 man blitzes constantly, just put the pressure on, see if we can force something, because you're looking at a guy who went for 424 yards last week against the Chiefs, and I'm not, you know, hopefully we're not going to see a repeat performance of that, but Rivers going for 300 this week isn't out of the question. I don't know if the Bills really used a great chunk of their playbook last week, because as soon as they got down, it seemed like it became, once again, another preseason game, and it just didn't seem, it seemed like they were disguising their own playbook for the future games. So it's going to be a big challenge. I think they're going to have to do some exotic blitzes. They're going to have to do something to make some confusion in that backfield, at least pose some challenges so that at least our secondary might have a chance to pop a turnover to interception.
For sure. Brad, one of the guys that'll be inserted into the lineup this week that I'm looking forward to seeing is cornerback Vontae Davis, probably going to make a start or at least be active for this one with the injury to Teron Johnson. So any other players on the defense, or just maybe your thoughts on that? You want to pick that back up with what you left off with there?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important. And, you know, another guy, Trent Murphy, I'm interested to see, because obviously with Shaq Lawson's injury, Trent's going to be someone that's going to probably see quite a influx of playing time, and kind of see how he's doing really in his first full action since his injury with, you know, with the Bills. So I'm interested to see kind of how he does back there. I think, you know, Trey White's a guy that's going to be going up against someone Justin mentioned in Keenan Allen, most likely in most scenarios. So, you know, I'm interested to see, because we all think very highly of him, and he had such a good rookie year. And sometimes, you know, we see this sophomore slump, if you will. And, you know, I know a lot of the coaches have said they're not worried about that from Trey. So, you know, but this is a big test for him against a quarterback like, you know, Phillip Rivers. So I'm interested to see if they can kind of generate any sort of pass rush like we talked about. Because at this point, you know, if you trust your secondary, you should be able to kind of play man and allow more of a rush. And it was interesting. I think I was a little disappointed in the play calling on both sides of the ball. Obviously, when you get blown out, you're probably going to be disappointed in the play calling. But, I'm interested to see on the offensive side too. Jeremy, you and I talked about this in the post game. Can Brian Daboll kind of do some things that we kind of heard, you know, he's a genius, quote unquote, or some of this other stuff. Can he design anything that's a little more interesting? Because I felt like I was back watching Rick Dennison again last week, and that was what we were all excited to get away from. So, I'm obviously going to be looking at a guy like that to kind of step up and show that that title from LeSean McCoy was warranted.
Yeah, and I think I'm banking on that. Daboll decided in the second half not to show too much, that the game was just out of hand, and it was one of those things where maybe McDermott was like, hey, just run just run page one of the offense. Like, don't go too deep. You know, this game's kind of lost. Let's just get out of here healthy. I'm really hoping, you know, they come out this week like they kind of did in week one of the preseason, where you saw a lot of different personnel changes. That was fun to see. That just looked more innovative. So I'm kind of hoping with a fresh, clean slate, you know, score being what it is now, 0-0 in quarter one, that, you know, they can come out and show fans that they're not just, you know, one-dimensional, or in the case of Baltimore, zero-dimensional, where they couldn't do anything. So that's definitely something that I'll be looking for too, is the play calling and the coaching. Hey, guys, are any of you guys going to the game?
I will not be. I'll be on probably on my couch with Twitter open. That's probably what I'll be doing.
Nice. That's my plan.
Yeah, no, I say that because, you know, week one for me, I think for a lot of fans, is like just such a tradition, to go to that game, just with the promise that a new season brings. I think a lot of fans, especially from people who leave Buffalo and want to come back and see family and stuff, I think week one is a big week for that. So I was just curious if you guys were going to go. And I was reading too.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I found it's tough. Like, we're in kind of a weird spot because, we're not necessarily, most of us, at least that work with The Wire, aren't credentialed to the point where we're in the press box, but we all are still writing or going to record a podcast right after, or we're live tweeting stuff. Right. So we still have, and that's almost impossible to do if you're at the game and you're not in the press box. I mean, there's no Wi-Fi, your phone dies in like the second quarter. So, I mean, we're in kind of a weird spot for, at least for our team. I think it just makes it, not to say we couldn't go to a game and say, we're going to go this week, whatever, but it just makes it a little more difficult when you're kind of trying to cover the game, but not totally cover the game. So,
I hear you, but I'm sure all three of us probably know people who will be going, it's just because it's just, I guess what I was wanting to get to is it's just such a tradition. Like, week one is just a week that a lot of fans really look forward to. So on the injury report for the Chargers, Joey Bosa being out could be huge. We talked about that, trying to keep Josh Allen upright and to kind of get this offensive started a little bit. That's huge. I also read in the LA Times apologies for who wrote the article, but right at the end of the article, guys, they wrote, Bills fans are notoriously rowdy. Opposing team buses have pelted with rocks and bottles. And then the next sentence, in one YouTube tailgating video, a Bills fan's pants catch on fire after he body slams a flaming table. His buddies douse the fire with beer. Like, this was written in the LA Times about Bills fans. And then I, researched it a little bit more, or just read a little bit more of the article, and then find a link to another article saying that the Bills are cracking down on tailgating. I never really understood the whole jumping through the tables thing and lighting people on fire and whatever, Bills fans. And that's such a small percentage of Bills fans that do that anyway. But, they obviously, with the social media posts going viral, get the headlines. I guess for you guys, you know, we don't cover fans, we cover the team, but and just kind of correlating to week one, maybe when we weren't, you know, with the wire, when we were able to go to games, just any cool stories of good stories that Bills fans that you guys remember from at any point during the season as we kind of kick off the year here at New Era Field.
Justin, you can take it if you want.
I'll take this one. I don't have a specific one, but I just remember just tailgating and just being around massive amounts of people who have no clue their name, having a few beverages, cooking up food, and then just going in and just being wild in the stadium. Just making an obscene amount of noise in the stands was just massive fun. I mean, it's quite a change from, like, you know, now I have two kids, so now I'm on the couch and I'm, mm-hmm. you know, showing them football stuff and plays and schemes and stuff that they then get bored and go play Legos. But it's changed so much, but the tailgating's always been a really fun part. I was never the guy to go excessive, you know, crazy balls to the wall through light a table on sure. fire or anything like that. It was always just, let's bring a football, let's bring some food, let's have a good time and just enjoy the experience. And unfortunately, the last, you know, the 17-year drought didn't really bring a lot of fun, so we had to make our own fun in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, and Jeremy, of course, you should have seen that I wrote an article for the Bills Wire talking about the tailgating thing today, but I was
queuing you up to say that. Yeah. That's exactly what I was doing.
I actually spoke to the Erie County Sheriff's Office, though. I called and spoke to them today just for some clarification on it, because the Facebook post was a little vague, and I think that's
want some clarification.
Purposefully so done to kind of you know, make fans just, you know, listen to the rules, even if they don't necessarily apply to them. So what I was told was, yes, this only impacts Buffalo Bills owned property. So if you're on a private lot, you know, the sheriff's office can't really do anything to you if you're going to jump through a table that's on Bills property. But what they did say was, you know, if it is on Bills property, not only will you be escorted out, you'll be banned from attending the game, and you'll also be banned from the premises until you complete a fan conduct examination and pass it. So
that's amazing.
They're really trying to, you know, step up, and you have to imagine, you know, Barstool, Deadspin, all these sites that feed off of this stuff and have only made it, like you said in this LA Times article, it makes it seem like every Bills fan is doing this thing. And I talk to people from other cities, whether it's media or fans, and they honestly really believe, if they've never been to a Bills game, they think that all of us, moms, kids, dads, grandpas, we're all lighting ourselves on fire and jumping through tables, and they don't understand that it's really not a very big percentage. Maybe it's grown a little bit as the social media attention's kind of grown, because people are like, want their 5 minutes of fame on the internet. But other than that, you know, it's just a little far-fetched. And I guess, you know, I never did a ton of tailgating. I've gone to a couple with friends over the years, but I think for me, the thing that more stood out was, as a little kid going to games with my dad, when we would get there, and, you know, we would get there, you know, 5 minutes before kickoff, so we're kind of just going right from the car into the stadium, but just kind of looking around and seeing all the older kids and people mm-hmm. that are tailgating, and thinking like, ooh, what's that? Like, you know, when you're a little kid, you're like not going to go to maybe family tailgates, but other than that. So I think it's just, you know, there's always been that kind of allure, as it's always been a part of Bill's culture to, you know, to tailgate, and you know, the cold weather, people are out there. Even we always see those stories, people, you know, wearing nothing in like zero degree weather and showing their fandom. So I think as long as it can be held in a, you know, not an insane way, I think that it's a cool part of the Bills culture. And I think that's something too, that, you know, as they talk about possibly moving downtown the stadium and all those talks kind of come up, it's something I think a lot of Bills fans are nervous will kind of get lost if they do move locations where there's not kind of that atmosphere that we have now, you know, at New Era Field.
Yeah, I could tell you, I've been to a game in Cleveland, and people, it's great tailgating, but you're downtown in a city in bars and then walk to the stadium. There's not really that many options for huge lots where you can, and parking in private, you know, residential areas where you can just kind of make your own tailgate. That option doesn't exist when you move a stadium downtown. So that's a good point. Guys, the reason why I brought that LA Times article up too, was just to say that it seems like whenever now with like a visiting team comes to New Era Field or plays the Bills just in general, the fans are talked about. And it was brought up, you know, with the Chargers staff and with players. And it just seems like the reputation around the league and Anthony Lynn coming back, like he knows it's going to be a rowdy atmosphere. And I guess it's just a testament to Bills fans out there. So those who are listening, you know, we are, and Bradley, you touched on the culture. It's just a really neat and unique culture in pro football. You might get that kind of feel, you know, in SEC country or with your college football team, kind of that rabid craze obsession. And I think to have that in the pros is pretty special.
And the Chargers general manager, Tom Tedesco, is actually obviously from Western New York, and he started his career as an intern for the Buffalo Bills. So that's kind of cool that, you know, he's coming home and he definitely knows the atmosphere. I heard him on a radio interview, I think today or yesterday, and he said something like, "I'm still a Bills fan, except for when it impacts the Chargers, which it does this week," or something like that. So it's kind of cool because he's, you know, he's coming home to family and friends and all that. So I'm sure he went to games, I'm sure, growing up and was a part of that culture too and everything. So.
For sure. All right, guys, let's get to final predictions for Sunday. Justin, I'll start with you. Final score and winner.
All right, so I'm going Chargers, and I'm going 31-14.
Wow. Okay.
I just Phillip Rivers. I just want to see the defense do something. I want to see a competitive game. I want to see Josh Allen, you know, perform well. I know he's going to go through his bumps, but I'm a little worried that they're going to be able to make that big step. I think it's more of a testament to the Chargers that I just really like their roster. I really feel like they're a playoff caliber team and just didn't get it together last year and seamlessly make everything work. For the Bills, even if they're going to lose by two touchdowns plus, I need to see some offensive prowess from somebody. Fewer 50-50 balls just thrown up, more high percentage plays, more time of possession and worthwhile play, more Shady McCoy, and Charles Clay over the middle would be a lovely...
Would be nice to see.
Would be a lovely guy over the middle as a valve for, you know, a safety valve for Allen. So I'd like to see that. I just want to see the defense put some pressure on, you know, Rivers, force him to make a really good play. Like last week, we made Flacco look All-American. So, you know, if Rivers is going to beat us, I want to see him beat us with it, you know, not standing in the pocket for 4 seconds.
Yeah,
Brad?
I guess I would have to say I'll go 23-13, which is a little closer than I kind of feel comfortable with, but I'll give the defense some credit. I worry a lot about Phillip Rivers. I just think he's, you know, I think he's one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks. I think we talk a lot about, you know, guys like Tom Brady, and we talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we talk about Drew Brees, and I feel like he's always left off. And I know there's reasons why he's not necessarily, you know, with the elite quarterbacks, but I just think hearing... I was listening to a lot of LA guys talk about him this week, and just because I don't feel like I hear a lot about him being out on he's out on the West Coast, and we don't really hear about him a lot. Mm-hmm. And just the way they talk about how he processes the ball, and he, you know, one of the words they used to describe him, which I've never heard a football player describe this way, was they called him a savant. And they said that the way he's able to just completely manipulate and toy with the defenses, just the way he kind of structures his offensive line to where he sees the play, kind of the defense lining up, the way he kind of leads defensive backs away from where he's going to put the ball. He knows within seconds where that ball's going, whether he puts it there right away or not. So it's just this, it's a very intriguing thing for me to hear about him, because we don't hear about him all that often. So I hope that the defense can kind of control that. I'm not optimistic, but I think Josh Allen will have a okay game. You know, it's hard to expect too much from him in his first game. I think that anything is going to look better than Nathan Peterman did last week. So you have to hope that, you know, the offensive line is able to give him some time. I think we're going to see him probably use his feet quite a bit. You know, as a rookie, a lot of times you break out of the pocket maybe a little sooner than you should, just because you're not, you know, you're a little more nervous, or you don't know if the play is going to set up for you. So I'll stick with 23-13 and Chargers, obviously. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, if we can leave that game and feel like, okay, Josh Allen's okay out there and he's not going to get killed and we're going to be okay going forward, I think that Bills fans, for the most part, will probably be okay with that. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see, I guess, what happens on Sunday.
I think a lot of people attending Sunday's game, Bills fans, are just so nervous that how this is going to go, right, because of last week's outcome. There's going to be some tense moments at the start of just please don't let this get out of hand early. I actually have this one a little bit closer, but I also have it higher scoring. I think it's like 35-31 Chargers, something like that. 35-28, something like that. I think the Bills will get points at home. I think Shady will find some openings, score once. I think the Bills can get 24-28 points in this game, just because I'm not that confident in the Chargers secondary, and not having Bosa in there, I think, is gonna hurt their ability to get to Josh Allen. So I like the Bills to be able to put up some points this week and finally not necessarily correct any wrongs from Baltimore, but I just show that they're competent enough to get 24-28 points. So, but I just don't think that the defense, and like you said, Justin, I love the Chargers offense and just their roster in general. I like all their playmakers that they have with Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen and, you know, that team and kind of that veteran offensive line. And yes, Phillip Rivers pulling the trigger. 35 points for them. So, but I kind of see a more high scoring affair. We'll see how it shakes out. I'll be back with Brad post game on Sunday. Thank you guys for kind of doing this mini roundtable with me to preview Sunday's matchup.